glad to have y'all here this morning. Will y'all please stand as we open up with a good old-fashioned worship song this morning. Sometimes. We all bow your heads as we open up the word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, that we can lean on you, that you put yourself there for us, God. You gave your life for us, for shed the blood of your son for our sins, God, and you brought us back to you, and you hold us, God. And I thank you and I praise you that no matter what goes on, I can lean on you, and you, I know you have me, God. And as we stand here this morning and praise and worship you, God, we love you, Lord, and we want to praise you this morning, and we want to hear from you this morning. We want to hear from the word that you have for our pastor this morning. I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon our service, upon the words that he's going to bring us this morning from your holy word. And I thank you for the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very quickly, read your bulletin. Read your bulletin. A couple of things, though. Youth group tonight at 5 o'clock. I'm pointing over there. I should be pointing back here, right?
Yes.
5 o'clock. So that's a great thing that's been happening here. So if you're not involved in that, please come to the youth group. What's the ages on that?
It's 7th grade to 12th grade.
7th grade to 12th grade. Okay. Also, don't forget this Wednesday night, there's no prayer meeting or Bible study. It is our members meeting, our business meeting. So that's this Wednesday, June 4th. So there's a kickoff party next Wednesday, June 11th for our VBS. Listen, from this point forward, there's no rest. All right, just get it out there. I mean, we're going to get very, very busy very quickly here. It is the season, right? What weekend do you have off, Matt? Yeah, right. Also on top of that is WMU on Tuesday. All right. Also, directly after service, if you want to go downstairs to the fellowship hall, there's all the ride stuff that is up, that's going to be up for auction. If you want to go down and put some bids in on that stuff, then you're more than welcome to do that. There'll be somebody down there directly following service. a lot of good prizes down there this year. I mean, big prizes as well. So anything from a gun safe to a swimming pool to a fishing package to Drover's gift certificate. So go on down.
All right, thank you, Larry.
These are the days of Elijah. God.
never stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. You never stop working.
Waymaker, the miracle worker. You are the promise keeper. You are definitely the light in the darkness. And Lord, we pray that that light shine forth. You just magnify that light today, Lord. That through the light of your word, Lord, that we will be people who are not only drawn closer to you, but drawn closer to do what your word tells us to do, to live a life that is glorifying to you. That our life would be the mirror image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that in He in us will come out and shine forth in brilliance, Lord. So Lord, we just come and thank you and pray that you are glorified through this worship today. Lord, that this music from our hearts and from our lips that was lifted is lifted to you so because you're so deserving of it. And so, Lord, we just pray for a mighty move of your Holy Spirit as we move into the next part of our service, Lord, the giving of our tithes and offerings. We ask that you bless both the gift and the giver, Lord. And, also as we come to the preaching of your word, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will already begin to move powerfully, Lord. That in your word, Lord, we will be changed and that your Spirit will rise up in us and move in us. Lord, that we will move closer to you. So, Lord, we ask that you would be pleased with this service. As always, Lord, if I'm going to say something that is not truth or not of your word, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would silence my lips, not allow me to speak it. And if I'm not the person to speak this word for you today, Lord, that you would rise up the one to do it. Why? It's not for my glory. It's for yours. It's for your honor. And for your truth to be said correctly. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we present this service to you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Praise Band. Appreciate you immensely. I tell you what, over the last couple of weeks, we've had a full run of our weeks. On Sundays, the last past two Sundays, we had weddings right after church. And we have both of those newlyweds here. The newest ones is Ralph and Peg over there. And, of course, Travis and Megan. Where's Travis? You kicked him out already? Well, there he is. There's Travis back there. Well, Travis and Megan. Well, I'm praying the Lord will continue to bless your marriages and union together. Also, we've had some people join the church. And again today, that is going to be the same scenario. There's a couple people that are going to join the church. So I'm going to ask Cody and Sheila to please come. This is Cody Wagner, and this is Sheila Long. And so they have come to present themselves for membership at Open Door Baptist Church. And I need to go over some questions with you again, right? But I have to ask you, as candidates for membership, you must agree to these things in front of the church. Have you read and agree with our church's constitution and bylaws? Yes. Do you agree to attend church regularly? Do you agree to support the church regularly through financial support? Do you agree to find a place of service in this church over a reasonable amount of time? Yeah, we already got Cody nailed down. And I already put Sheila on your radar. All right. Do you agree to submit to the pastoral leadership of the church? All right, Cody. You both agreed to that. Okay. Do you agree to allow the members of this church to hold you accountable in love according to God's holy word? Do you agree to love the church and to promote unity and fellowship among the believers? Have you read and do you agree with the Baptist faith and message? Open Door Baptist Church members, I need to ask you some questions in light of their membership. Open Door Baptist Church membership, do you agree to recognize Cody Wagner and Sheila Long as members of Open Door Baptist Church? If you agree, please stand. Open Door Baptist Church membership, do you agree to love Cody and Sheila as a member of this church and make them feel welcome and accepted members of this family? If you agree, say, I will. Open Door Baptist Church membership, do you agree to hold Cody and Sheila accountable in love to God's holy word? If you agree, say, I will. Open Door Baptist Church membership, do you agree to be accountable to Cody and Sheila as members of this church? If you agree, say, I will. Amen. We welcome you to the family of Open Door Baptist Church, and we are excited to have you. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Well, thank you, church. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and this will be the next to last. Next week, I think, will be the last sermon in this series for me. Don't ask me where I'm going. I may do a couple of topical things. I'm not sure yet, but I'll get there. But I've entitled this sermon, Stumbling Blocks. Stumbling Blocks. In 1890, in a Baptist church in Mayfield County, Kentucky, there were two deacons and only two deacons in this Baptist church. One served 1 year, and then the others would serve the next year. But here's the thing about the deacons. They didn't like each other at all. They didn't get along at all. Now, I know that's probably hard to believe, but they didn't care for each other in the least little bit. And so during the year that one of the deacons happened to be serving his turn, a new pastor came to the church. They called a new pastor. And it is a gift from him, the deacon who was serving, as a gift to the new pastor, the deacon gave the pastor a white Stetson cowboy hat to wear. And so every Sunday, the pastor would come in, and he would be wearing that new cowboy hat. And he would come over, and he would go over to the front pew, and he would sit his hat down on the front pew while he preached. But there in cold country, and coal dust gets everywhere. Now, any of you who ever grew up with a coal-fired furnace knows this, right? Coal dust is just absolutely everywhere. So there was coal dust on the pews, and when he would put his hat down, it would get coal dust around the brim of the hat. So the old deacon serving that year went and he took a peg and he put a peg in the wall so that the preacher could go and he would hang his hat on the peg, right? Sounds right, right? Right? Well, the next Sunday morning, the other deacon came in and demanded to know who put the peg in the wall. And the other deacon said, I did. And the other deacon said, well, nobody called and informed me about this. We didn't call a meeting. We didn't have a meeting about this. Nobody, there was not a vote on it. My opinion was not asked. There was no discussion whatsoever on this. And these two got into it over this peg in the wall. And it split the church. So half of the church became known as the anti-pegs. And the other half of the church became known as the pegs. You knew I was going to throw a hay peg in there, didn't you? It's a joke in our family. So one half was the anti-pegs and the other ones was the peg. And the churches became known as the anti-peg Baptist church and the other one became known as the pro-peg Baptist church. Well, it spilled out, this whole conflict spilled out into the association. And the association came and they were supposed to pull these two churches back together, right? They were going to have this conflict resolution. They were to pull this church back, churches back together and it spilled over into the association. And it split the association. Well, when you come to chapter 14 of Romans, this is exactly what Paul is talking about. How the church gets upset where you put a peg in the wall of the church or if you don't put a peg in the wall of the church. And that's what Paul is dealing with in this chapter, chapter 14 of Romans. And it is some of the most practical advice to give to the church today. It really is. Now, in Paul's day, they were dealing with the issue of meat offered to idols, and I explained that over the last couple of weeks, right? Their problem was eating meat that was offered to idols. Now, we don't have a problem with this in our day, so I have to come up with some things that kind of fit the bill for today's age in the church. And so we deal with a lot of things, honestly, in the church, like a peg in the wall. Now, in our day, we don't get upset over meat. Well, I don't, right? It doesn't bother me to eat a piece of meat, and I don't care what you do with it. I really don't, as long as it isn't something nasty like you spit it on or something. I mean, like, I don't know. But I don't care what you do to it. I'm going to eat it. Even if you offer it up to a sacrifice to Buddha, that doesn't bother me in the least bit. Do you want to know why it doesn't bother me? Because there's nothing to Buddha. He's false. And there's only one true living God. Amen. Amen. And his name is Jehovah, Yahweh. So you put that steak down in front of me, and I guarantee you I will eat it, all right? But that was what was going on, and that's what Paul was dealing with because it was very, very real in Paul's day. Look with me at Romans 13, Romans verse 13, chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Paul says this, therefore. So there's a new section starting right here, something new coming right here. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide. Decide what? Right? Decide what? Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Now what's going to happen here is this. Paul is going to turn now to the mature believer. The mature believer in Christ or the mature sister in Christ, he's going to turn to them and he's going to talk to them. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. So Paul begins to deal with the stronger brother or the stronger sister in Christ and how he or she deals with the weaker brother. Now listen to me carefully. The mature believer should recognize his responsibility to love. One of the things that we say is that we hold one another accountable in what? Love. I always emphasize that when I say that, right? So the mature believer should recognize his responsibility to love the weaker brother for the sake of the unity of the body of Christ. Now, we all see ourselves as mature, right? Because if I came down and went to each one of you and interviewed you, like with a microphone and interviewed you, are you the stronger or the weaker person? Are you the stronger or weaker believer? I believe that the majority of you would say, I'm the stronger. Maybe not all, but most. I believe most of us in here believe that we are somewhat the mature believer. So then let's listen to what Paul's going to say to us, because this is a word to the mature. And he's going to come and Paul's going to give us a specific word about how we treat, how we love, and how we show our love to the weaker brother. Now, Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1. Now, concerning food offered to idols, false gods, right? Now, concerning the food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Meaning this, all of us possess knowledge. Meaning, we know that there's no idols. We have that knowledge, right? There's no false gods. They're not real. They're false, right? Now, listen to him. This knowledge puffs up. In my notes in there on that Bible verse, I stuck in there, uh-oh. This knowledge puffs up, but circle the word, but either a what coming, a promise or a warning, right? After the word but. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, right? That's a promise. Now, Paul was telling us, I'm not to puff up my maturity. I'm not to walk around in arrogance about how mature I am in Christ. I'm not to walk around and look down on Hunter, although I am looking down on Hunter. Right? No, I'm not to do that because I feel that I'm more mature than Hunter is. So I got this thing that I look at him and I'm puffing myself up because I'm better than he is. He says, you're not to do that. I am, however, to pour out love on Hunter, right? That's what this verse is telling me. I am to pour my love out on all of my brothers and sisters in Christ. All of them. No exceptions. And the reason is because Paul will come in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, and look what he says. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You're saying a whole lot, but you're not saying anything. Your walkie-walkie does not align with what? Your talkie-talkie, right? It says, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, right? But have not love, what's it say? I am nothing. Paul was saying this, that my maturity and my knowledge of the things of God are negated when I am loveless. Let me say that again. My knowledge of the things of God are negated when I am loveless. When I am constantly looking for the wrong so that I can point you out to show you how mature I am, right? I belittle you to show everybody how mature I am. That's not love. That's what he's saying. He's saying that's not love. And when I do not act in love, nobody gives a flying flip how mature I am. They could care less. In fact, they'll begin to avoid me. I can have it all. I can know it all, right? But if they don't see me in love as a person of love, they couldn't care how mature I am. It kind of goes like this. Nobody cares how much I know until they know how much I Listen. Knowledge powered by love. Knowledge powered by love is a powerful thing according to the Word of God. Now that's just as plain as I can get it right there. So the question comes, so how do we love? Well, number one, the mature believer will do this. The mature believer will sacrifice for the unity of the body of Christ. They will sacrifice for the unity of the body of Christ. Now, let me pick it back up at verse 13, right? Romans 14, verse 13. Therefore, this means this is referencing something that he just said, and I'll get to that in just a second. It's really verse 10 what he's going to reference to, but let me get into the verse here. It says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide. So who am I to judge? The question there, so who am I to judge? I am to judge myself. I'm to judge myself, and how am I to judge myself? Look what it says. I'm to judge myself. Look, never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance, excuse me, in the way of a brother. Now look, he begins verse 13 with therefore. So it points us back to verse 10 where he says, why do you, meaning the mature believer, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, the weaker brother always judges the stronger brother. He says, I've got a list of rules, things you do, things you don't do, and he always judges everybody else by his list of rules, right? He's got this big laundry list of rules. You can do this, you can't do that. And then the stronger brother, the more mature brother, will often look down on the weaker brother in contempt. And he will just discard him, and he's unimportant. He doesn't know, right? It's unimportant or beneath him, or he's not where I'm at in maturity. So he'll look down on the less mature believer. And Paul wants you to understand what you are both doing is this, is you're judging. Both sides are judging. Both of you are judging each other. Therefore, verse 13 says, let us not judge. And one of the reasons we don't judge, Paul gives us back in verse 10, is because one day we will stand before the real judge, the one who we will have to give an account to, the one who we will have to give an answer to. And he, God of all, the one true God, right, Jehovah God, he will do all the judging at that moment. And listen, he's not going to need any help from you or me. And he will judge each one of us as we stand there by ourselves. So Paul says this. He says, don't judge somebody else. You judge yourself. Now, we don't like doing that, do we? I look at myself and say, what's wrong with me? So Paul says this. He says, don't judge somebody else. You judge yourself. And you do this when you judge yourself. He says, ask yourself this. Is there something that I do in this church that creates a stumbling block for someone else? Now, let me show you what a stumbling block is and where it comes from. So if you've got your Bibles, you put your finger right there in Romans 14 and go back to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And while you're getting back there, it's clear in the front of your Bible. And while you're turning to Leviticus 19, let me do something here at this point. Let me remind you what we are not talking about. I got questions on this the last couple weeks. Let me remind you what we are not talking about. I am not talking about doctrinal issues or moral issues. Now, I'm coming back, and I'm going to take a moment to talk about this because I don't want any confusion here, right? We are not talking about doctrinal issues. We know what we believe here. We know what we believe. That's why when you become a member here, just as these two did this morning, right? That before you become a member, I ask you to read the church constitution and the Baptist faith and message. Why do I do that? I want you to know what we believe and why we believe it, right? And that we are all on the same page. We are in agreement with what we believe, right? That's why I have them do that. So if you are a member here, you know what we believe, and you agree to it, right? You come and you agree to it in front of the church that it is truth, right? We believe it. It is truth. Therefore, we're going to stand on these doctrinal and moral issues. For instance, we believe in the virgin birth. I do not question it. I do not even doubt it. I believe what the word says, that Mary was a virgin. I believe in the virgin birth. We believe in the Trinitarian nature of God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, right? We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was fully man, born of a virgin, fully man, but he was also fully God, God the Son. And listen, if he was not fully God and not fully man, then what happened on Calvary means absolutely nothing. Because you would still be in your sin. Paul, that's how Paul would say it. If that wasn't truth, then you would still be in your sin. But he is fully God. Jesus is the Son of God. And at the same time, he's fully man. God came in the flesh, born of a virgin. So we're not talking about doctrinal issues here. We are not debating a doctrinal issue here, nor are we debating a moral issue. So understand, the Word of God is very clear, and I'm just going to choose an area here, right here, because I have to choose an area. I got to come up with something, right? So let's choose sex outside of marriage. Sex outside of marriage between one man and one woman is fornication, and it is sin before God, period. Now, we have a lot of people, even a lot of people in the church who say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. You know, we're really in love, and there's not anything wrong with it. Now, let me have your attention here, because this is going to sound funny how I say this. Let me have your attention, please. Don't listen to me. I'm telling you that the Word of God says it's sin. If you don't listen to me, listen to the Word of God, not me, but listen to God himself. And you listen, okay, you can protest and give every argument in the Word that you want to. You can do that. You can give every argument you want to, but in the end, you have to know this: God will judge, and I'm telling you, it is sin according to his Word. But that's not what we're dealing with. That's not what this text is dealing with. So don't get upset, all right? That's not what it's dealing with. We're not dealing with that today. Now, do you remember last week when I shared about two great preachers? One was Joseph Parker and the other was Charles Spurgeon, right? And they fell out of fellowship with one another. They became good friends and they fell out of fellowship because Spurgeon didn't like the fact that Parker went to the theater, and Parker didn't like the fact that Spurgeon smoked cigars. Now, some people like cigars. Now, my wife absolutely hates them, but some people like them, right? However, the Bible doesn't say that I can't smoke a cigar. You know, I asked Pastor Hayes, and there's very few of us here that remember Pastor Hayes. I'm looking at you, right? There's very few of us that remember Pastor Hayes. He's the one that founded this church. He was the first pastor of this church, and I'm the third pastor of this church. But he founded this church, Pastor Hayes. And I went to him in the back after he preached a sermon. I went up to him, and I asked him, I says, do you go to hell for smoking? He never missed a beat, not a single beat. I looked, I said, do you go to hell, Pastor Hayes, do you go to hell for smoking? He says, nope. And I said, oh, okay. He says, just smell like you've been there. And now some of you are looking back at me and say, yeah, but there's a principle there, that the body is the temple. Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. It is. But listen to Paul. Paul says, work out your own salvation on that. So can you make a can you smoke a cigar and go to heaven, is the question would be. Like I asked Pastor Hayes, can you smoke and go to heaven? Can you smoke a cigar and go to heaven? Well, I think probably Spurgeon made it. I really do, don't you? And is it wrong to go to the movies? Well, I think Joseph Parker probably made it, and he went to the theater. I mean, these are two greatest theologians of our time and in their time. So those are the issues that we're dealing with. It's those kind of things. People judging others over non-doctrinal issues, I call them level 3 issues. It's those kind of things. And those are the things that split churches, pro-peg and anti-peg. What's it look like today? Well, I wanted green carpet. I didn't want that gray carpet. I want a green carpet. Listen to me. I learned quick. When we started building this thing, when I put people on a committee, when I put the people on the decorating, on the picking out of the colors, I picked 2 people. And I disagreed with both of them. But it does, it happens. I want the green carpet. No, I don't want that gray carpet. And then you choose one that they don't like, and then they say, my feelings are hurt, and I'm not going to go to church with that green carpet anymore. I just can't stand walking in and seeing that green carpet. I'm not coming anymore. Anybody know what I'm saying? Let me give you something on that. None of that matters a single ounce of anything. It does not matter. One, it's carpet. It's not doctrine. It's carpet. And you know what? In another 50 years, it probably won't be here anymore, and it may not even be gray anymore. So who cares? Blue carpet, green carpet, gray carpet, who cares? Listen, this kind of stuff really does happen. It really, truly does. And I've told you before all of this, I've told you before that back in 1996, 1997, I was the youth pastor here at Open Door Baptist Church, and Joe Buchanan was the senior pastor. And I failed to, in one morning, I failed to say good morning to a guy, and it wasn't intentional. I mean, we weren't as large as we are now, but I failed to say good morning to one guy. It wasn't intentional. Like, I didn't say to myself, I'm going to church this morning, and I'm going to ignore so-and-so today. That was not the case. It wasn't like that at all. It was simply, I just didn't make it to the back to say good morning, right? And he left the church over that. He really did. He quit the church. And you think, well, maybe it was something else. Maybe it's not. Maybe that really wasn't the issue, the reason why he left. Well, believe it or not, it was. Because Pastor Joe Buchanan went to visit him, and that's what he told Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe went and says, what's the problem? What's going on? He says, I've left the church because Larry Garrison snubbed me. So I attempted to go visit, and I attempted to apologize to no avail. And he never has returned a single foot in this church to this day. Well, about 3 months ago, Don and I was at Burger King, and he was there. And I seen him up there, and I said, Don, do you know who that is? She goes, yeah. And I went up to him, and I said, hey, so-and-so. I knew him by name. I said, hey, so-and-so, I don't know if you remember me or not. And the guy turned around and looked at me and said, I remember you. And he turned and walked away. This kind of stuff really happens, folks. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This kind of stuff really happens. Well, let's look at Leviticus, all right? You got there? Look at what he says there. Back in Leviticus chapter 19 about a stumbling block, verse 14. Leviticus 19, verse 14. He says, you shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. Now, that's where that first is mentioned. This is the first is mentioned, the concept of a stumbling block. You put something down in front of somebody who is blind. And you're thinking, how rude, how unkind, how mean-spirited. Don't start laughing. Matt knows where I'm going. I'm going to be in so much trouble, just so you know. I mean, think about that. To put something down in front of somebody like that, how rude, how unkind, how mean-spirited could somebody be putting a stumbling block in front of a blind man for him to trip and fall over, right? And maybe we don't do it with the purpose of causing them to stumble. Maybe that was never our intention, but that's not what we set out to do. It was not intentional. But listen, that's why we have to handle each other with care. This makes me think about something that happened a month or so ago, and I have to share it because it fits what Paul is saying here, and again, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. Y'all start praying for me. I took my mom to the doctor's office down in Wellsburg a couple months ago. And if you live in Wellsburg or you drive through Wellsburg, you probably have seen a man who is blind walking with his white cane down the street of Wellsburg, right? And Don Lazon, I see them talking. Don Lazon knows this guy. He's a good Christian guy too, right? Right? He's a good Christian guy. Don and his wife Pam knows this guy, and he is totally blind. I asked him, I said, is this guy totally, he's totally blind. So I pull up in front of the doctor's office. It's down by the old Pizza Hut, and I just parked out on front of the street. When my mom had to go in. Well, my mom opened the truck door, and I'm sure she got out of the truck. She turned back, and she had to get her purse and her papers and everything for the doctors out of the truck, and my truck door was open. You kind of see the scene there, right? Well, while she was turned around getting her purse, the guy with the white cane ran into the open door of my truck. Hard. Bam. And it wasn't the flat part, it was the edge part. I'm in so much trouble. And it knocked him backwards about 4 steps. I mean, literally just boom. I mean, you can imagine. And then he knocked him back about 4 steps, and then he was the one who apologized. After he got his bearings back, he was afraid that he damaged my truck. And my mom, she felt absolutely horrible. But then she laughed and said, I don't know why I'm laughing. That wasn't funny. Now I see the guy. Now I'm going to make fun here. It's not intentional, but we're going to make fun. So I see the guy walk down. He's walking down the street now. He goes like this. I was wrong, wasn't it? I know. He's not here, so he don't know. If he does, Don. Well, listen, my mom didn't feel horrible, but that's what my mom felt horrible, and that's what Paul's talking about when he says, don't cause a brother to stumble. That's like a literal visual picture. Don't cause a brother to stumble. Now, that wasn't intentional on my mom's part, amen? She would never do anything like that on purpose. At least I hope she wouldn't. But anyways, my mom would never do anything like that on purpose. But it happened, and he stumbled, and thankfully he wasn't seriously hurt. But that's what Paul means when he says never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Now understand, like my mom, there are times when we do this, we don't realize what we are doing. And then there are times when maybe we do know. Kind of like the kid sitting in the schoolroom cafeteria who subtly sticks his foot out when another student is passing by with a tray full of food, and he sticks his foot out and trips him. It was intentional. That's what Paul's talking about. How cruel, how mean, how rude to do something like that intentionally. Paul was saying, we in the church, us mature believers, we in the church should never put a stumbling block in front of a brother or in front of someone else for that matter, right? And let me define this a little better for you. Paul means this, when we coax somebody. When we coax them, when we coach them, right? When we urge or encourage somebody or ridicule somebody, right, into doing something that they feel like this just isn't the right thing for me to do. When you encourage or coax somebody into doing something that they didn't want to do or it feels wrong for them personally to do, that's sin. And I'm going to give you an illustration of this. This is a real illustration. So let's say I have a friend who struggles with alcohol, and I do have a friend who struggles with alcohol. He was an alcoholic. He drank all the time, and he went to rehab multiple times. In fact, he has fell back into the pattern of drinking over and over and over and over again throughout his life. And finally, God delivered him from that. He hasn't drank in 10 years or more now. But we go to this conference. This conference we went to, it was over around 9:30, 10 o'clock or so. And I look at the guy and I say, hey, let's go over to Applebee's and let's get some dessert. And the guy looks at me and he says, hey, man, he says, I don't know. He says, I don't think I want to do that. There's a bar in there and people are drinking alcohol in there. And I don't know if I want to do that. He says, God delivered me out of that. So I just don't think it's a good idea for me to go there. And I look at the guy and I say, oh, man, come on, man. It's Applebee's. It's not a real bar. It's more of a restaurant than it is a bar. Come on, man. Let's just go get some dirt. And he says, yeah, but people are drinking in there. And I just don't want to be tempted by that. And I go, hey, man, come on, man. You're not going to be tempted. Listen, bro, we're not going to sit in that bar area. We will sit over at the table when they're outside of the bar area, over on the side there. He says, we'll sit over there. So don't worry about it, man. I said, I'm not going to let you order a drink. You think I'm going to let you order a drink? I'm not going to let you order a drink. And he's like, I don't know. I just don't feel like I should. I just don't feel right going in there. He says, man, I beg God to deliver me from alcohol. And I told him I would never enter a drinking establishment again. And I say, yeah, but. I say, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with going to Applebee's.
Well, in his mind, there was.
In his mind, it was. I said, there's nothing wrong with going to Applebee's. Come on, man. There's nothing else open at this time. And I said, besides, Applebee's has this great sizzling caramel apple pie dessert thing. Man, I mean, I got it in my head, right? It's got these apples. It's got the ice cream. It's got the caramel drizzled all over it. And I think there's even some pecans on there too, man. Come on, it'll be okay, guy. Come on. And I get him in there, and he's squirming, and he's twisting, and he's shifting back and forth, and I can tell that he's uncomfortable, and he's looking up, and he's looking down, and he's looking at me, and we eat our dessert, and we go out, and we are in the parking lot, and he says, I can't believe that I let you talk me into going in there. I felt uncomfortable in there, he tells me. I could smell the alcohol in that place. I used to love being in that bar environment. People laughing, music playing, man. He says, I just enjoyed it. He says, I wish I wouldn't have gone in there. That's what Paul's talking about. Is there anything wrong with going to Applebee's? People say, well, I don't go in any place that has alcohol. You go to Kroger's? That's what Paul's talking about. We've all talked to somebody and doing something that they really didn't want to do. And let me add here, I'm certainly not going to go into Applebee's with him and drink a beer myself in front of him. You know why? That would be cruel. That would be absolutely cruel. That would cause him to stumble, right? And how about this one? We got ourselves in some credit card debt and a big bunch of debt to the point that we could only make the minimum payments each month and with 29% interest, okay? And at that rate we are going, we would have been paying off that credit card debt for 30 years. And so we go to one of those places that helps relieve that credit card debt, right? And they make a deal with the credit card companies on your behalf for a fixed lesser interest rate and a fixed payment over so many years. And after all those years, finally, you got the debt paid off, and you say to yourself, no more credit cards ever. But then, you and your girlfriend or boyfriend, you go to Macy's, and at the checkout, they say, you know what? If you apply for this credit card, you can get an extra 20% off if you sign up for this credit card right now. You know where they do that really good at? Cabela's, as soon as you hit the door. You sign up, I'll give you this off. And you say, no thanks, no thank you. But your girlfriend or boyfriend says, come on, it's 20%. I mean, that's 20% off our entire order. And you say, no, I've been in credit card debt before, and I don't want to do that again. I promised myself that I would not get any more credit card debt ever. And your friend says, you won't get into trouble again. You just pay it off when the bill comes. And you say, I don't think it's a good idea for me. But your friend says, come on, it's not that big a deal. You want the 20% off, right? That's what Paul's talking about when he's talking about being a stumbling block. When we talked someone into doing something that we think is perfectly okay, and maybe it is for us. But the other person doesn't think that it's good for them. Or worse yet, they know it's not good for them because they have a real problem with it to the point that it's become sinful. Paul said when you do that, number one, you do this, you destroy a brother or a sister. And I'm not saying that. The text is saying that. Look at verse 15. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, where you eat, or a cigar, or a movie, or a glass of wine, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Now, this word grieved in the Greek means just that. It means to grieve, just if someone close to you had died. But this is meaning it's grieved. It's a continual thing that's going on here. For instance, when we walk out of Applebee's and this guy continues to grieve by what he's done, he feels like he's betrayed God and he has sinned before God. And then the next week when I see him, he says, you know what, Larry, I'm still struggling. I'm still thinking about drinking. I'm thinking about that party atmosphere that I used to love so much. I used to do that all the time. I'm still not feeling right about this. In fact, I haven't even been able to read the word. And the guy begins to fall out of church, which begins to make me wonder, who knows how many people at Open Door over the last 40 years, weaker brothers and sisters who have been coaxed into doing something that they felt was wrong, and now they no longer walk with the Lord. Just made me wonder. You say, preacher, you're making way too much out of this. No, I'm not. This is the Word of God. I didn't say it was comfortable or wonderful, but listen, we need to hear it because why? It's in the Word of God. Because we sometimes will push things off onto another person, and the stronger, more mature believer will sacrifice for unity not to do that. That's what we should do as a strong, mature believer. We should sacrifice for the unity. He says, not only will they grieve, but look at the last part of the sentence. Look what it says. He says, do not destroy. Now, do you know what that means? It means destroy. That's real profound, right? It means destroy. It means to absolutely destroy with your food, by drinking, by smoking a cigar, going into Applebee's. You fill in the blank. He says, it'll absolutely destroy him for whom Christ died. I have wrecked now, and what this is saying is, I have wrecked now his walk with Christ because I urged him to do something he felt was sin to himself. And by the way, that's what the last verse says, verse 23, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Understand, what's not of faith is sin. If you can't do it in good faith, then let me tell you something, it's sin. So now, what he's done is, he's messed up this guy's walk with Christ. He's messed him up. He's not in the Word anymore. He's not doing the things that he should be in worship anymore. He's not where he was spiritually. He's not. He's slacked off in his service to the church, right? So what he's done now is he has really wrecked his brother or sister, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Remember, Paul was talking here, and he's talking to the mature believer, the mature Christian, and he's saying, listen, you have an obligation. You're sitting here, and you're thinking you're a mature believer. Paul is saying you have an obligation to your less mature brother or sister to not cause him or her to stumble, that you may have that brother or sister who's struggling in his or her life to walk with Jesus and to understand, right? What are the things I do, and what are the things that I do not do? And how can I grow in my life in Christ to be mature? And that's exactly what he's talking about here. I can look back at my own life, and I can see that there have been instances where my actions have caused others to stumble, and I struggle with it. It's convicting to me, but there's something worse than there's something almost as worse as the convicting is that I know that I caused this person to stumble, and it haunts my conscience every day. because I know that where he is because I led him there. And I can't get out. Maybe that's you today. I don't know. I'm just telling you, it's happened with me. Maybe that's you today. Maybe God has allowed me to preach this so we don't do this to somebody. If you haven't done it already, then you won't. But I've done that, and I'm not proud of that. It causes me a lot of pain. So today, that's all the further I'm going to go. We'll dig a little deeper next week. But for now, I want each of you to examine yourselves. Not the person next to you. Not the person next to you, but examine yourself. Is there anything in your life, in your mature Christian life, that would cause someone else in this fellowship or any Christian fellowship anywhere else to stumble? Have you opened a truck door on them to run into unintentionally? Or maybe you're slipping a foot out to trip them up intentionally. Have you done this? Is there someone who wants fellowship with us that no longer does? Do we need to reach out to them? Listen, God will convict your heart, mature believer. If you're a mature believer, God will convict your heart. Are you or have you been a stumbling block? I can't answer those things for you. I can only answer them for me. That's why I'm telling you to examine yourself. I can't answer those for you. I can only answer them for me. So as the music begins, I want to ask you to discern your own heart. Examine your own self. What do you say? Am I a sacrificer for the greater good of the unity? Or am I a destroyer of the unity? You know, one of the things that we agree to that we will promote as a membership, we will promote unity among the believers. Are you willing to sacrifice the greater? Are you willing to sacrifice for the greater good, for the unity of the body? Do you want to take a stand and ask the Lord to plant your feet on higher ground? That's what it's about. Lord, plant my feet on a higher ground. Why? Because I want to be just like you. I want to stand in the light of you, of your acceptance. Would you ask the Lord to plant your feet on higher ground? You would become an encourager to others, not a judge, but an encourager. Let us pray. Let's stand. Father God, in these moments, Lord, I ask you to convict hearts, even mine, Lord. Let us, Father, to never be a stumbling block to those around us intentionally. Help us, Father, corporately and individually to encourage, to build up, and to love one another. And never to cause a brother or sister to stumble. Let us not be one who tears down, but be the one who pulls up. And Father, for those who don't know you, I plead with you, Father God, to convict their hearts and draw them and call them to yourself, that you will not be their judge, but you will be their Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. The altar is open.
Faith or death.
was an oldie.
That's an oldie.
But it's a goodie.
It is.
Yeah, it's a goodie. That's been a long time since I've seen that one. Hey, listen, or heard that one, I should say. Listen, don't forget, if you want to go downstairs and look at what's available that we have for our fundraiser for the mission run, you're more welcome to go down there. Tickets are available. But listen, when you leave this place, go. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. Lift someone up, all right? There's a greater hope, right? And we found it. Or I should say, it found us. Amen. Amen. Go be encouragers. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith.